Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Get crazy with it. Let's go.
Pow! Hello and welcome.
What up, guys? Another episode. So I've got buddies that watch a lot of Twitch, like a lot of games on Twitch, and they used some like terms a couple months ago. They started using plebe. You guys know that term, like plebe.
I've only heard it out of you and maybe one other person. So actually, a couple other times.
So a plebeian would be kind of like, is a term kind of for like a commoner.
Yeah.
So if somebody is like, you're a plebe, that means like you're not in the know, you don't know anything. Yeah.
Well, technically, doesn't that originate from, I'm gonna act like I know what I'm talking about here, but is it a, well, plebeian was like a commoner from like Rome.
Rome, yeah.
Yeah, someone who was low class.
Not part of the whatever you call it.
The aristocracy or whatever. Yeah.
That's probably where we get our word for public.
I don't know. But then just like last week, he started using the term smork. Like he smorked me and like I got smorked and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. So, I don't know any of the terminology.
So
man. They have a lot of them too.
So basically if you type in Twitch smork, S-M-O-R-C, you come out with like an orc looking face. And he watches a lot of Hearthstone streamers. And so, you know, the hunter who is an orc is known for doing a lot of stuff to the face, right? Like you don't try to board clear. You try to go to the face.
Right.
So if you're smorking somebody, that means like
face means attack the player directly.
Attack the player directly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you smork somebody, that means like you basically are attacking them to try to kill them as quickly, ignoring other things that you might want to be killing instead. You know, if you smork somebody, that means you're going straight to the face.
Gotcha.
So I was going to make this a game, but I don't think either one of you guys know anything about Twitch. So just to give you guys a little background, Unicode, which does emoticons, like is the official one for emoticons, recognizes about 2,000 emoticons.
Okay.
Twitch has over 30,000 emoticons. Jeez. And so what they do is streamers get this perk where they can create emoticons, and then if you subscribe to the streamer, you get the emoticons. So the bigger, the more they stream, the more emoticons they can create, and the more their subscribers can get.
What a great idea.
Yeah. So
wow, that's really, really good.
And the thing is, if you have an emoticon or an emote from one streamer, you can use it on anybody else's stream.
Mm.
So it's a way for streamers to advertise if they use a very popular, if they have a very popular emote, people ask, where'd you get that from?
Yeah.
And then
it's like a little bit of clout even.
Exactly.
I got this from that new guy nobody knows about.
So, these whole emoticons, it has this whole like culture behind it. And one of the most popular ones or one of the most well-known ones is Kappa. Have you guys heard of Kappa?
Yeah, I've heard that. With a K, right?
With a K. Mm, yeah. K-A-P-P-A.
God, we sound so... people are screaming right now.
Yeah. Well, if you're not into Twitch, then you don't get to see all this
stuff. I'd rather play games than watch people play.
So Kappa, which shows like this gray face, sometimes people call it gray face, is a emote for trolling. So somebody can type something out and then finish with Kappa, and it basically means the opposite or whatever. That means they're trolling you or whatever.
Kappa means the guy before me is trolling.
Kappa, if you type in Kappa, it comes up with the gray face.
Right.
And the gray face means you're trolling.
Okay.
The emote means you're trolling, right, or they're trolling, or you're being trolled, or whatever.
And you could Kappa probably.
Yeah, you can do all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's probably the most popular one, but there's a couple other popular ones. So I wanted to share a couple with you guys. There's one called Bible Thump, which is Isaac's face.
Yeah.
And he's crying.
Yeah.
And that just means, you know, like you're sad or something sad happened. There's one called PJ Salt, which is basically a salt shaker. And that means, you know,
he's salty
or whatever like
bitter.
that. Yeah. There's one called Resident Sleeper, which is funny. It's basically an emote of a guy asleep at the chair. And it's basically like if it's boring or if it's like not, if you're not having fun. And then the last one that is kind of like really popular is Craigasm. And it shows this dude's face. The emote is this dude's face.
Like an O face.
And it, yeah, it looks like he's in the middle of an orgasm. And that's, people use it if there's something amazing happens or a big play or something like that.
What was that one?
Craigasm. K-R-E-Y-gasm. So there's cool. some emotes. Those are all like, because there's a select list that everybody gets, that everybody can use.
Right.
And those are all from the everybody can use.
Right.
And then you, once you get into the culture of Twitch, you kind of get into these other things and you start seeing all sorts of different emotes.
It's cool. I'm glad you brought that up because I always wanted to look it up, but I just never get around to it.
Yeah. And there's a, you know, there's a bunch of sites that will tell you how to do everything and like how to use them and all. But once you get into the individual streamers emotes, then it gets crazy. Like all sorts of things.
Speaking of, since you said the laying down or whatever, this reminds me of a story. I'll try to summarize it really quick. This is in the height of my EverQuest addiction. And, I was playing for like 16 or 17 hours straight as per usual, as I do.
Yeah.
As one does.
As one does.
Yeah.
Dude, EverQuest when there's all you can do.
I had fights with my girlfriend. I had sex. I had blowjobs. I had fights with my mom, all while playing. All of those things happened while playing. Like, yeah. I would not get up. Completely crazy. And anyway, so 16, 17 hours, whatever. And there's so much waiting around when you're playing EQ.
Yeah.
Just to get your mana back, you have to meditate for like 3, 4, 5 minutes.
Back when you had to stare at your book to meditate.
Yeah, and you couldn't even look. You couldn't even see what was going on. You had to look at your spell book in order to meditate. It was ridiculous. So, you know, I was meditating and we were deep in the heart of the lair of Naugafin, which was the one of the two major dragons in the game. And we're going our way through and we weren't going to fight Naugafin. This is just a team of like 7 and we're just killing all her guards because they're lucrative and they're fire giants. And so this is heavy duty shit. This is like end game shit. This is, if there's not a dragon around, which only come around once a week, then this is what you do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this is probably my first raid with them. And I'm looking at my spell book and I'm like, I'm just going to lay down for a second. Right. So I fall asleep and, they're calling me, but I'm out. Right. Well, they don't call. I don't know how much time passes, but time passes. And they're calling me nonstop because the respawn was happening every 4 hours or something like that. So they're like, dude, the shit's about to spawn. You got to get out there now. I answered. I was like, what? So I got on my computer and I hit gate or whatever the gate is to go back to. Yeah. So I start casting the spell. The fire giant lord spawns in front of me, running at me. And I was like, because this doesn't sound like. It's not like fucking Halo where you die, you just respawn. If I would have died in there, your corpse decays after 24 hours.
And all your stuff's on it.
I would have had to assemble a massive army to go in there to get my shit. Or have a master monk go in there and grab my shit. Because otherwise, you lose everything. And your whole character is what you have on you. So I'm casting this
spell. They didn't have a bank back then, did they?
I think they did. No, from the beginning they did. But, you know, all your good shit you're wearing because, you know. So anyway, he's running towards me and the gate spell, which takes about 3 or 4 seconds to spell, right before, is like whiff, you know. And then, oh, man, that was crazy ass shit, man. I was like, oh, my God. They're like, dude, we're calling you. What were you doing? What do you think I was doing, man? We've been playing for 16 hours.
I like how you somehow equated Twitch emotes to playing EverQuest.
Yeah, I don't see the connection there. How did we get from one to the other? Well, he said
the sleeping one.
The sleeping one, which is known as Resident Sleeper.
Yeah.
It's a popular streamer, was doing a 72-hour Resident
and he probably
Evil
yeah.
stream. and dude fell asleep, and he had thousands of streamers on, and it was just a dude passed out of his chair, just fell asleep the whole time.
Wow.
So somebody took a picture.
So when you said it, I thought that's what you were going to say, is it had something to do with somebody falling asleep at their computer.
Yeah, it definitely did. So shall we get into games?
Yep.
Yeah, we went from nothing to fucking a whole list here.
Yeah, seriously. Well, let's talk about ARK. ARK. It's called ARK Survival Evolved. Is that what it's called?
Yep.
The same dude that's Twitch, big into Twitch, Kevin, shout out. You won't listen because you don't listen to my podcast, so fuck you. Kevin was like, hey, I heard.
Fuck his mom while we're at it.
Yeah, seriously. A lot. He's like, oh, a lot of people on Twitch are talking about this. This is big going on. A lot of streamers are doing it. And as you can see, like on the Steam page, it's already got 4,500 reviews. So it's big going on right now. It's basically, again, ARK Survival Evolved. It's early access right now for about $25. It's basically Rust with dinosaurs, right?
Yeah,
basically pretty much. Exactly what it is.
It looks a lot nicer. Well,
what do you think of the graphics? Because I've seen a lot of hate on the graphics, and apparently if you try to use it high or extreme, it just like shits on your computer. But I mean, obviously it's early access right now. I was playing just on the normal settings, and I kind of liked it. It kind of has kind of almost a cartoony kind of. It's kind of stylized a little bit, but not in a bad way. I liked it.
It's different, which is good because you get tired of the people going for photorealism. But it's nice.
The dinosaurs look nice.
The dinosaurs look nice, and there is this kind of like. You can definitely tell it's digitized. It's like there's almost like a graph on the screen when I play, a very minor one. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like you can definitely see the pixelation, and I think that's probably what people are complaining about.
Yeah.
Other than that, it doesn't. When I sway my head left to right, there's a little bit of lag. Do you get that too? Okay. So
and it got this worse when I upped the graphics.
And this is all because it hasn't been optimized. I'm guessing
it's just really early.
Yeah.
It just came out, this week, I think?
Yeah, but and I'm also thinking that this is going to go down this list of a bunch of shit that we just all saw. Just this game is never going to come out. I'm going to go ahead and say that. Anything that involves survival and fucking crafting and possibly dinosaurs. Dinosaurs makes it even worse because that gives you the option of maybe not even your studio shutting down. So,
I don't know. It's kind of clean right now. Obviously, it still needs a little work, but I didn't feel like it was at the beginning of early access when I was playing it. It wasn't like, what was that other dinosaur game that literally only had three types of enemies?
Stomping Grounds? Oh, you're talking about the Hunter Primal.
Yeah. Pterodactyl Hopscotch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's. This game, has like 10, 12 dinosaurs, and you can ride them.
I've seen all kinds of shit. You can ride one?
The big thing is like you can ride.
Like, did you ride one?
No, I haven't yet.
You probably have to make a harness or something.
Well, it gives you, in this early access, it gives you some harnesses.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know how to get the dinosaurs. You have to tame dinosaurs before you can ride dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And you have to I haven't figured out how to tame dinosaurs yet. But obviously people are because I've seen people riding them.
And the other thing you could do in this game is shit while running, which is interesting.
Yeah, they have a defecate button.
Oh, there's a button for it.
There is a button for it, but if you don't, you just kind of shit yourself, whatever it's.
Yeah, I just got in my grass hut, and I shit right in my brand new grass hut. And I was borrowing it.
Sound. Like, it's funny.
Yeah. There's nothing really, a whole lot of new shit here. The strongest point that I can say is the diversification of the dinosaurs.
Well,
I saw a megalodon.
Yeah. There's a ton of dinosaurs.
That's really cool.
There's a couple things I liked about this game. One, I didn't feel like I started off and I couldn't do anything. Like Rust, you literally have to just start running and finding things and then.
Right.
This one, like you have a couple things that you already can start off making.
Yeah.
And you pretty easily can start learning other things. And that leads to number two, where it shows you an XP bar, and XP is actually useful. What was there was another dinosaur game. Was it that same dinosaur game where when you killed them, you earned XP and stuff like that? But it didn't really apply to anything. This XP is actually useful.
Yeah, you unlock blueprints, basically.
Well, first of all, when you level up, they have like 8...
Oh, stats.
eight or ten different stats, you know, movement speed, strength, melee attack weight, how stuff. Much. Yeah.
Now, so you can. Do these stats persist through death?
Yes, they do.
Oh, okay. What?
They do? Yeah, they do.
Oh, I know.
That's why you still had your skill after you had died.
Oh, I see.
You just lose your stuff when you die.
Yeah, okay.
From my understanding, I could be wrong.
Probably depends on the server as well.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And their rule.
I was on an official server, an official PvE server. Oh, of course, I went on PvE.
And to give you an idea of how much they're working on this, I played a little bit. It was really buggy. I couldn't get into a game. Games that weren't full said that they were full. Games that were full, I could get into momentarily. It was garbage. I fell asleep. I woke up. There was a patch. They introduced two new dinosaurs, and I went right into a PvP server. So it was pretty sweet.
To follow up on the leveling up, so when you hit a level, you can up one of these stats or whatever, but then they give you a certain amount of points in your, what is it?
EV points or something.
Yeah, something like that. And you have basically a craft tree menu or whatever. Yeah. And you can pick what... So instead of trying to find recipes like Rust did, this is basically a progression. Like, it's an RPG. Like, you level up and you can...
Yeah, the only problem with Rust is you were hoping on luck.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I didn't like.
It's kind of cool. I mean, yay when you get one. But if you don't get one, somebody else is going to have the upper hand because he has a shotgun and you have a pistol.
Yeah.
Just because of luck, no matter how much work you put in.
And the other thing that's cool about this game, so I didn't want to read up on anything. I wanted to go in and try to learn it myself and figure this out. So I was doing that, but like off in the distance, you see these giant towers of scientific looking things.
Yeah.
And when you first get in the game, you like wake up or whatever and you kind of like sit up and you look at your arm and attached to your wrist is kind of like this diamond thing.
Like a tracking device or something.
Something. So monitor. Like there's these things in the game that like you know that it something's going on. It's not just about dinosaurs. And even the symbol for arc is that A, and it's got three different colors on the A, and it corresponds to the towers that I'm seeing. So there's something with these three colors, this red, green, blue, that is going on with the towers. Something is going on, and it's kind of a mystery to me. And that's one of the reasons why I want to get into it. Is
but I feel like that won't be fleshed out till after its official release, which is June 2016, is what they said. But yeah, that's cool. At least there's something.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything in any of these other games.
And that's what I mean. Like this took what those other games were and progressed on it, which I thought was nice.
Hey Bob, can you take us back to the other thing?
Yeah.
Just really quick, it was who made this?
Wildcard.
I wrote it all down. Yeah. Wildcard was the dev and the publisher. Never heard of them before. I really was interested in which engine this was because it is unique looking. It's I don't know. Like I said, it hasn't been optimized. Doesn't look fantastic. It looks pretty good though. And so I thought it was going to be an engine that I hadn't seen before, but it is Unreal. They just, I don't know. Maybe they're not very good at optimizing it.
Yeah.
But, like we said, it's very new. What would you pay for it, Chad?
It's $25, $24.95 or something.
I could not recommend it for that.
Yeah. And that's on sale. The game normally is $29.99.
Yeah.
But they're offering it for $24.89 right now. And that's quite a bit of money if you think about it. I mean, the Stomping Ground,
it was $20.
The forest, yeah, that was the Stomping Ground was 25 retail.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, the forest might have been 20. Rust was 20. I mean, that's a little on the high end for a game like this.
Yeah, sure. But I don't know. I personally, there was a lot of talk about it, so I wanted to play it, you know, so our listeners could hear about it. But I think if you're into the crafting survival, right now, I think this, behind Rust, I think this is number two on my list on the crafting survival game.
Rust is number one?
I would say Rust is number one just because it's been out the longest. I know it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything like guns in this. Right. So, but I don't know. I haven't gotten that far. But just, I really like the dinosaur aspect, and all the other dinosaur ones have been a letdown, and this one hasn't.
Yeah, I saw a highlight, or I mean a headline that said, finally, Steam has a good dinosaur game.
Yeah.
So we'll see where this goes. Yeah, this is another one. We'll check back in a few months, see how it goes.
So you said they say June 2016 is when
it goes. That's what they said. I am always down for some Rust. If anybody wants to try it, I like, not to like, let's go play for 3 hours, but I'm always interested to see where they're at.
Yeah.
And it's cool to like just pop in every once in a while. Bobby hates it. Even
Rust?
Though it's some of the best gaming I've had in the last 5 years, probably.
Yeah.
Amongst tons and tons of tedious, fucking monotonous shit. But then when shit happens, it's like amazing.
It's like the army. Like you sit there for 2 weeks and then all of a sudden you get 15 minutes of intense action.
Yeah. And then you never get it back.
By the way, our listeners say we don't say the name of games enough. This is Ark Survival Evolved. Ark
Survival. Yeah, we always fuck that up.
So, what else we got?
Well, I've been playing some MMOs. I was talking about trying to find one that I could really get into. And posted something up in the Steam group about it. I checked out Star Wars The Old Republic and Guild Wars 2. So, Guild Wars 2, you guys played that, right?
Yeah, I played it.
Just downloaded it last night.
We played it at launch.
Yeah.
It's a one-time purchase. There's no monthly fee. And I think I was like level 37 or 38 when I left off with that. But the thing about MMOs is when you come back into them and you play a character that's already leveled up a little bit, it's really hard to get accustomed to that. For sure.
So you started over, huh?
Yeah. No, not yet.
Oh.
It's like coming into a tutorial on step 10. You just have to reacquaint yourself with so much stuff. So it was a little difficult at first, but I kind of fell back into it. I really like the feel of Guild Wars 2. Yeah. Just the movement, the graphics, everything feels really nice. But the big problem with this game that a lot of people have with it is there's no end game. And you look on YouTube and there's a lot of people trying to defend this and say, well, yes, there is an end game. Here's all the things you can do when you hit level 80, which is the cap. And I don't know. It's not a great defense if you ask me. It's a lot of collecting cosmetics, PvP, world versus world, things like that. But the idea behind Guild Wars 2 is that they didn't want people to grind 80 levels and then get to the fun part. The idea behind Guild Wars 2 is that the game is the fun part.
But here's the part. None of us, of all three, and we all played it and enjoyed it, none of us got to level 80.
Yeah.
So that was never a concern for us.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I don't think, the majority of people probably did not get to 80, but they probably enjoyed. There's a guy that I work with, and he's a Diablo 3, like,
five.
I mean, dude, 1,000 hours or something.
Gotcha.
And same thing for two, Diablo 2, and he doesn't vary from any, but they pissed him off so much that his, his sons convinced him to play something. So he's playing Guild Wars 2. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I think I'll give it a shot or whatever. And so a week passed, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm level 40. I was like, in a week? I'm like, you've been playing. He's like, yeah, I kind of like it. So, I mean, of all the modern MMOs that are out right now, I think it's by far the best. And I've said this so many times. I don't know why I'm not playing it. It's probably because I'm not in the MMO mood. For a whole year or 2 years now, but it is the best one out there right now.
I think it's definitely got some pluses to it, but I don't know if it's my favorite MMO. I don't know if I've been conditioned by other MMOs just to expect end game content and run dungeons with groups and have, you know, specific classes for certain things. And that's why I don't enjoy it as much, but it seems the focus on Guild Wars 2 is mostly on, leveling up, doing quests, and they handle that great. I mean, you don't have to, it's not go to the quest giver, get the quest, go do the quest, come back to the quest giver and turn it in. It automatically does that for you. As soon as you enter the area, the quest pops up. And there's usually several things you can do to fulfill it. There's many different ways to accomplish it. And once you finish it, then it automatically turns it in. You get the XP and whatever reward.
Are you grouping up, Bobby?
No. And I don't think they really push you into doing that. Yeah. At least I haven't. Even running dungeons, you can just join with a bunch of random people. Another cool thing about this is they just have random events that will pop up near you, and then everyone will run towards it. Like a big monster will appear somewhere, and there'll be a quest to kill this. So everybody will go do that and team up, but it's just a clusterfuck when that happens. And I don't know. I really enjoyed WoW and the dungeons and that. and how everyone had a specific responsibility and all the crowd control you would have to do and the pulling and, you know, just the coordination and the teamwork required is really what appealed to me. And that came in primarily endgame with World of Warcraft. I don't see Guild Wars 2 ever doing that, but I've only leveled up halfway. So I don't know.
Now the World v. World PvP sounds pretty awesome to me. What are we talking here? Are we talking like 100 versus 100 or more? Or how does this work?
Is this the one that has the three different territories or whatever?
No, that was ESO. Said that they were going to do that. This is server versus server, but I don't know how they implement that.
I've played it before, but that was, again, at launch. It's been a long time. It is quite a few people, but again, it's like a clusterfuck. But the way that combat works in this, they have a really interesting way of doing weapon upgrades, or not upgrades, but how your weapons work and how your skills work. Like, depending on what you have equipped, that determines what abilities you have.
Yeah.
But you can cast things that are like a modifier. So if you cast something, it will create like this circle. And if someone else casts something within that, then it will combo and do something else. So that's really cool. But the problem is you get 20 people in a fight, you don't know what the fuck's going on. There's circles everywhere. Shit's just blowing up. It's just so hard to keep track of. Maybe if you play the game more, then you would understand it. I mean, you know, I even go back and watch some WoW on Twitch sometimes, like just doing 2v2s, 3v3s, and I'm confused as hell. You know, they got like 50 buffs and 5 debuffs, and you don't know what the hell's going on. But if you were to be playing that consistently, you'd probably understand that.
I miss those 3v3s, man. They were fun.
Yeah.
Dude.
Really. The waiting around was the worst part.
There's not any of that anymore, but...
Yeah, you can queue up
just while you're out in the world. I just remember being 5v5s, just hating my life. I was always a healer. Fucking some dudes are always running away from me, and I'm trying to fucking eat. Yeah, it was the worst. I hate PvP. Fuck PvP.
Beastmaster PvP. Fucking, what do you call it? Hunter. Just run over there, go beast mode and kill somebody, and then now it's 3-on-2, hopefully.
Yeah.
It was OP when I was playing.
But you didn't just play Guild Wars 2,
right? No, I played Star Wars The Old Republic, and I played this originally, like, 4 years ago, 3 years ago. It was when you still had to pay for it. And it was like during this period where they're doing like 2 weeks free or something like that. And you can only level up to 15. So I leveled two characters up to 15 and then that was it. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, it was BioWare helped develop that. So obviously you got some great story, great dialogue, great design. And it felt a lot like World of Warcraft. You know, it was just a good MMO. I played it again, and I really liked the graphics. I liked the feel of it. It reminded me of WoW, but with a Star Wars skin. But it is so nerfed unless you pay that $14.99. Because the way the pay scale or the pay model is now is it's free to play. But if you want, there's like a dozen perks to paying the monthly subscription. You have an option to pay $14.99 a month, and they nickel and dime you everywhere. Well, I shouldn't say nickel and dime. There aren't microtransactions. I think you can buy credits and stuff or something like that.
It's that big $14.99 is what they want.
Yeah, $14.99 a month is what they're going for. But they cut out the weirdest things like inventory slots, quick bar slots. You know, how you can have multiple quick bars for your abilities.
Right?
Yeah, things like that. Also, you level up slower unless you play the $14.99 a month. It's just everywhere they can get you, they get you. But I mean,
do you think it's worth it? Like, from what you're saying, I think I'd pay $15 to play that for a month.
Yeah, you almost have to. And it's kind of frustrating because you want it for free. But at the same time, it's like they are giving you like a good portion of the game flat out free.
WoW voice doesn't acted do that. And shit.
Yeah, I mean, you can play the game for free, and it is, I'd say, a big annoyance, these things that they cut out of it, but at least they give you the option to play for free. So I don't know if I want to pay $14.99 a month. There's been some talk of, I know David is winning, mentioned WildStar. I might check that out and see if I like that. But he also brought up Defiance, which I had forgotten all about. I played maybe 2 or 3 hours of that, and I really liked that game.
Is that still around?
Yeah, it went free to play a long time ago. Like, I bought it for $5, and then a couple weeks later, it went free to play. But I got some sort of reimbursement or a benefit in game, of course, for paying for it.
How long did that show last? Like 4 episodes or 5 episodes?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't even follow that. Yeah, that, they released the game alongside a Sci-Fi Channel TV show.
Which I actually I played the MMO and was watching the show for like 2 weeks, and then I realized the show was garbage and I didn't really like the MMO, so then I stopped all that, and then the show didn't make it much longer.
Did they had a fake language in that show, right?
Yeah.
Because I remember hearing an interview or reading an article about the guy who creates fake languages for TV shows, and the same guy who made the fake language for Defiance also made whatever it is that Khaleesi speaks in Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Dothraki.
Yeah, he made that language as well. And that's that guy's job, is just to make fake languages.
But here's the thing. There's one guy. So, like, if we needed another language for this podcast, that's the guy we'd call. And then we could say, oh, this is the guy that worked on Defiance and on Game of Thrones.
I'm sure there's lots of people that do it. I mean, someone had him. He didn't make Klingon. Of course, that was probably from a long time ago.
Basically,
I wasn't being serious.
Okay.
Thanks.
Basically, Lord of the Rings came around because the guy was a linguist and he needed a world to put to the language he created. Like, that's basically.
Is that how it
yeah.
He reverse engineered.
He created Elvish and Dwarvish and wanted to, like, put. I mean,
and don't
I'm not
forget,
an expert at.
Gobbledygook.
I'm not an expert at Tolkien, but that's how I've understood it happened.
Gobbledygook is
so
what
feel free
Goblin
to
speak.
Talk shit about what I just said on our Steam group if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Well, so, I never watched any of the TV show, but yeah, Defiance, that'll probably be the next one that I check out because it's free to play right now. I don't think there's probably things you can spend money on, but I don't think they really muscle you into it like, the Old Republic does. And it's more of an action shooter. It's a little more fast paced than, some of these RPG MMOs.
So basically you're telling me the 50 gigs I downloaded last night for Guild Wars 2 and Star Wars The Old Republic isn't useless because you're not going to play everyone.
No, I'll play it because the thing about MMOs is you got to play with people. That's what makes it fun.
That's why I was doing it. I'm prepped and ready to go with these two. Okay. If you're telling me I got to get Defiance now.
So you haven't leveled up at any characters in Guild Wars 2 or
So Guild Wars, I played them both. Okay. But I have no idea. I was looking through my emails and Star Wars was 2010. When I first signed up for it, and Guild Wars, I think, was 2011 when I signed up for it. And I looked through my emails and found the keys to get these activated. So I do have my accounts for these. So I will be able to log in and find out what they are. So.
But what I'm saying is, should we start new characters?
Yeah, I mean, however you want to do it. This is your deal, Bobby.
Well, if you already have a level 14 or 15
I'm on
character.
The caboose. You're just...
Well, you know, that's another thing about Guild Wars 2 is they really accommodate that when there's discrepancies between levels. If you're in an area where enemies are much lower level, then it kind of brings them up, makes them a little more powerful, so they're harder to kill. And it makes playing with friends a lot easier.
You know what City of Heroes did, remember?
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Such a great concept.
Sidekicks and, what was it,
So it's a superhero game. It's an MMO. And if you wanted to bring one of your friends with you, it didn't matter what level he was, he becomes your sidekick and he becomes one level below you. So he could be level one and
but
you could bring your...
It worked both ways. You could either sidekick a buddy that's low level or you could have your high level guy.
I forget
what they called it, but you could de-level your
mentor
high...
Mentor or something.
Yeah, you could de-level your high level guy so you could both run around as newbies if you wanted to.
That was a great game, man.
Yeah.
It was really good.
That was a great game.
Yeah. Hey, is there timeouts in podcasting? Because fucking Chad's breath is killing
my
me,
bad.
Dude.
I ate butt pizza earlier today.
Is he even talking in your direction, though?
It doesn't matter. It's bouncing off the mic and right into my face.
That's what you get for the jalapeno salami pizza that I just had.
Jalapenos and salami on a pizza?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So, are we
going on? Yeah, that's it on MMOs.
What is this Steam mystery card? Bobby. Smirk.
Yeah.
Mystery card. Oh, look.
Should we
the mystery cards are every year, you know the Steam sale's coming because if you look at your badges page,
there's a mystery card, and you'll notice if you craft other cards, then you won't get a coupon as you usually do for another game. You will get a mystery card, and these mystery cards eventually, when the sale starts, will turn into a summer sale card or a winter sale card. Mm-hmm. So the time has come. I'm entering phase two of my master plan.
He's trying so hard.
Yeah, I know.
It sucks I didn't get the video up in time, but this is like the busiest time of the year for me. I'm documenting everything and trying to record as much shit right now, so I will be able to have a good video with the stuff to back it up and explain my process fully after this. And
so then, is this like a part two to your original, or
yes.
Disregard the first one?
You know, the first one's good. I wouldn't say you should completely disregard it, but in the first one, I say this is how you level up. You go to this website, and this is how you use it to level up. My new method involves leveling up twice a year, doing all your leveling during the summer sale and the winter sale, because that's the times that you can make the most XP per dollar.
Because there's a bonus or something?
Yeah, it gets really complicated. I can't summarize it at all. Like, I wish I could. I've already tried to explain it to, like, two different people, and it's just like... Like by typing it on voice chat, it's very difficult to explain. But if I actually had the time and I put the video together, then I think I can make a really good case. Wait, but
so when the Steam sale starts, you're going to be super duper busy leveling up and not playing?
No, I'll probably still be playing.
He's okay. A multitasker. He can do them both.
Yeah.
But you will be, there's going to be, it's not like you're not going to be using idling as much or something.
No, that's phase one is idling and gathering Christ. Cards. Phase one is already passed. We're in phase two.
I'm in DEFCON 3 right now.
A few days, maybe about four days before the Steam sale ends, I'll be entering phase three and completing it. And
he's not kidding.
Yeah,
no, I have a whole document written up on this with all the steps and everything. I may just like put that out there, and people can kind of figure it out. But Bob, moves are being made.
If you start doing stocks, I swear to God, we will.
Can we buy in?
Yes, we'll share a pool house. I will share a pool house with
Dad.
Jesus,
definitely. Okay. Well, let me talk about Oceanhorn real quick. Because I talked about it last week. Fun game from Zelda. Oceanhorn Monsters of the Sea.
I don't know if I have that right. Let me double check that. But yeah, Oceanhorn, we talked about it. It's kind of the Zelda game.
Yeah, Zelda-like game. It's on Steam right now. I got it on sale. Highly recommend it. I finished it up. Well, I completed the game. I don't want to say I got 100%, but I beat the game this week.
Which is rare for you.
Which is rare. It is. Yeah. It is the right length that I could get through it and complete it. I was very satisfied with the length because I could have done a bunch more other stuff if I was really into the game. There was a ton of other things I could have done.
None of your girlfriends have been satisfied with your length.
Yeah, that's true. You're a jerk. My biggest complaint now is the last boss in Oceanhorn. Like, it's very buggy. It doesn't tell you what to do. I had to look up how to beat the guy.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Hey, you couldn't bring up key binding on freaking Ark to figure out how to bring up the crafting menu, so fuck you. Yeah, so it was buggy. It took me a while to beat it, but not because I didn't have the skill to do it, because bugs kept occurring and I had to restart it. And then...
During the boss fight?
During the boss fight, yeah.
Which is the... If you're going to have a bug, that's probably the worst time.
Games, just like when you write a book, you start with the finale and then work your way back. Games should work off the final boss. The final boss should be the culmination of the whole game, right? Yeah. Don't you think like it should? Then it should be working backwards?
Bobby, what did you say? The final, right? Or the like the final in school or something like that? It's the test.
It should be the culmination of all the skills and abilities.
Yeah.
And this wasn't. You had a ton of abilities that you had, none of them that you really needed to use. They give you an item right before you go into the boss, and that's one of the items that you need. Like, you didn't even quest for this item. It was just sitting there in front of the boss.
So, I put Anything that'll kill me, I put right outside my door.
Yeah.
Knives.
That's a good
kryptonite.
Yep.
Yeah.
They did that in the first Shadow Grounds. What was that game?
Shadowrun.
The first Shadowrun game. Last boss fight, they give you this special weapon that you need to weaken the enemies, and then you kill them. I don't know if I'm one way or the other on that, but yeah, it is kind of lame. That's like, oh, by the way, here's a super weapon at the very end.
I guarantee
introduce a new mechanic.
I guarantee all the development into this was not, hey, let's give them a special weapon and then they'll be able to kill our last boss. No, it was, wow, let's do our last boss. It's going to have this mechanic, but wait, that doesn't even fit into the game. Well, let's make this gun that shoots fucking magic and rainbows, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But this led me to think, what is the worst boss? Because I can think right off the bat of two different games. One was Human Evolution, Deus Ex, right? The bosses in Deus Ex.
Yeah, but they fixed that.
Did you play it? You played it that deeply?
No, not the final boss. I just mean all the bosses.
Oh.
The bosses in Deus Ex was designed by a different group, but a different development company.
But you're guessing from what you read. You never...
That was a common complaint. And I did play all the way through Deus Ex, and that was a problem. And I knew that going into it, so I was prepared for it and perked up accordingly. But they did fix that in the director's cut of Deus Ex.
Prepared for it? You mean like tissues on the side for ready for crying?
Or? No, I played that game knowing all the defects. But like advice I used to give everyone when playing that game, because story-wise, it's one of my favorite games, and it's one of probably my top 10 of all time as well. It's a great game, but
God, I gotta play that game.
You could work yourself into a corner if you didn't spend the talent points in the right area. So I would not spend talent points as I got them. I would spend them as I needed them. So if I encountered a problem, it's dumb and it's stupid that they would even build the game that way. And it goes against everything they did in the original Deus Ex, which is where you have a problem and you have many ways to solve it, either through stealth, through combat, or, engineering where you send in robots or hijack something. I mean, that was great, but they didn't accomplish that in Human Revolution. But I haven't played the director's cut, but I hear they've fixed all that stuff.
The other one I was thinking of is another Bobby example, and might be his favorite game of all time, Jedi Academy 2.
Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight, favorite game, but the expansion, Mysteries of the Sith. Yeah, we talked about that like 10 months ago. You're talking about the one where I couldn't figure out how to beat the boss.
And you tried to kick his ass 15 minutes?
Yeah, and then it turns out you just have to turn off your lightsaber and let him attack you, and then he has a change of heart in the middle of it.
It's not you, Bobby. It's all these names. Like, each name has five names in it, or words.
Oh, yeah, it's like Call of Duty at that point. I hate when they go like double subtitle on these games, it's stupid.
Subtitles and then fucking tag and then just goes on and on. Where are we anyway? Can we scroll down a little bit?
Oceanhorn.
That was it. That was okay. I beat it. The last boss sucked. Everything else was good in that game.
All right.
And it's Oceanhorn Monsters of the Deep, right?
Yep.
Monsters.
Just remember,
the Uncharted.
All names for Emilio's cack.
Yeah, that's right.
See, that's a long name, and I said this last week, but it sounds like bundle trash.
Yeah, Oceanhorn is the worst. I don't know who came up with that, but you're fired. You're fucking fired. Step into my office, because you're fucking fired.
All right, so should we move on to listener questions?
Sure.
So Clown Lotion is asking, or he says, we have the capability to play handheld games that we played on consoles 20 years ago. Do you think we'll be playing ROMs of what we're playing now in 2035, or do you think gaming technology is becoming too close to photorealism?
That's a good question.
I like that you left out what he put in, which was kind of rude. Discuss. Like, dance for me, clowns.
Well, he is Clown Lotion.
Yeah. You don't need to put in the discuss. I mean, that's what we're going to do. That should be in parentheses.
Thank you for raising this question, Clown. Emilio gives you a lot of shit for some reason, but I appreciate it.
His name's Clown Lotion. He's used to it.
Okay.
He's both abrasive and smooth.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say, although the pace of technology has slowed down, I think.
What? No, it hasn't.
Yeah. No. Although the pace of.
Nope.
I mean, Bobby, back me up. The pace of technology has slowed down when it comes to computer technology.
No.
What do you mean?
When it comes to consumer technology, I'd say.
Yeah. You're saying the past 2 years, the increase in graphics and capabilities of your computer is greater than the previous 2 years? No. It's slowing down.
Past 2 years is a bad example.
What do you mean?
Probably 4 or 6 times better than it was the 2 years before that.
No.
Yes.
So we're talking about graphics card, right, Bobby? Bobby, we've been talking about graphics cards recently. The new sets of graphics card, are they as incrementally as good as the graphics cards that have happened before that? No, they keep getting slower and slower. The graphics cards are not getting as good, right? Am I crazy here?
I think the games have not. I think the cards are way in front of the games right now.
You're just spouting gibberish. Let's talk to an expert,
off,
Bobby.
I think we're getting way off topic here.
No, we're not. This is exactly the topic we're on.
Well, I think he's saying that we play Super Nintendo, maybe even N64 games on emulators now, and we can play those on our phone.
I think he's asking if we're going to play Witcher 3 in 15 years.
On a cell phone.
Yeah, on a cell phone is what he's asking.
I'd say
sure.
Yes.
Yeah, easily. Easily. It's exponential. We're having exponential growth.
No.
You're completely wrong.
You're completely wrong.
What do you mean? There's a law. There's some sort of law where I forget the name of it.
Moore's law.
Computing power doubles every 2 years.
But that's not correct. It hasn't been doubling.
Except for when you read it and you look into it, it says it's held true since he came up with it. And then they show you. Have you looked into this at all?
Yeah.
No, you haven't.
Yes,
no.
I have.
No, you're guessing. You're guessing because your computer hasn't been doubling every 2 years.
See, the funny thing is none of us really know what we're talking about. So, I mean, you guys can keep arguing, but it's like.
I know that when I read stuff, when I read stuff, it says that Moore's law has not faltered. That's what I read.
That's incorrect.
According to your studies.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm a futurist, so I look into this kind of stuff.
Bobby, what's your thoughts?
I think, yeah, technology is increasing rapidly, but so is the requirement or the need for computing power, too. You know, it takes a whole lot just to get a little. You know, the further up you go, the more you need. So, yeah, even if we get these massive supercomputers, like, we're going to need those just to get minimal or small gains.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fucking scientist like Emilio over here, so I don't know, man.
You know what?
I haven't been studying.
You know what? Fuck these guys. Start subscribing to Emilio's 3 Seconds of Boom. It's a whole new podcast starting next week. I'll see you later.
Yeah, have fun with that one. No, this is all I'm saying. You used to have to get a graphics card every time a new one came out because you couldn't play the games prior to it. And we talked about this a little bit before, that maybe developers are getting smarter and are able to design games that work for both low systems and high systems. But I don't know, just even a couple years ago, it used to be insane. Like every 2 years, you'd have to get a new computer. It's not that way anymore.
Right.
You're still using because a computer that's 8 years old.
Right, because the technology's ahead of the games, dude. Okay, so.
What do you mean?
Okay, let's just say.
It's not even possible.
Let's just say.
Okay,
let's throw it out there. That to use the maximum settings for a Titan, whatever the best card out there is.
What's the best card, Bobby? Are we talking about this? We're going to talk about this in the news.
We'll talk about this later, yeah.
Okay.
Whatever the best card out there. What do you think, how much development and money do you think it is to make a game to push that card to its limits? You're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, if not a billion dollars.
No. Developers are always technology restricted. Always. Like not, there's no, there's
by
not,
consoles, maybe.
No, there's not even a hint of a second option.
No. By consoles, maybe.
No.
Maybe for, and also for consumers.
That is completely incorrect.
You're so wrong.
You could take the base Unity engine and you could push technology with just that base engine. Not even like going crazy. You could push that, because developers will always push out as far as they can go. That's just the natural order of things.
No, because you want to go for as much general public as you can hit. So whatever the most people are using, that's what you want to go for.
Tell you what, we'll circle back on this in 2035, and I will prove to you that I'm right. But
how many years is that from now?
Didn't he say 15? 20? No, 20 years from now.
20 years from now, I will be dead.
Yeah, probably.
With a dollar in my pocket and a smile on my face.
Yeah.
Well, here's my only concern about this. The only reason I would think this wouldn't happen, that we wouldn't be, like, in 20 years, we aren't going to be playing Witcher 3 on our phones, is because, sure, we can play Super Nintendo games on our phone now, but how hard were Super Nintendo games to make? Think of Atari. One person made one game. They could make it in months. Now we have teams of, like, what? How many people make a game these days? Thousands. Like 100? Thousands?
Oh, yeah. If you're talking about AAA titles, it's thousands. Yeah,
and they use SDKs. The tools are already built for them to make these games. I mean, there's just so much. These games that we play nowadays are so complex. It's not a one-person job anymore. So to be able to make that portable and to put it on a smaller device, I think that would be a lot more work. But I don't know, man. The future is going to be crazy.
Let me back up a second. 20 years is a long time. Like, a long time. I'm sure in 20 years we can play Witcher 3 because we'll be playing some 3D fucking thing that you jack into your spinal cord.
You can play Witcher 3 in one eye and play Barbie's Dream House in your left eye if you wanted to.
But I'm already doing that. But the point I was trying to raise is that I think the computing technology and the graphics technology, I think they're starting to slow down now. And
oh my God, dude, it's exponential. Okay. It's been exponential. Okay. Look it up. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Do you know what exponential means?
Yeah, it means that in six steps, I could be in Las Vegas. Six exponential steps or something like that. It's like 20. I could be in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That's how exponential works. Yeah.
We're going to have a new
computing
segment
technology has been exponential. Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, I'm just asking, do you know what exponential
means?
Yes, can you give me an exponential?
It means it doubles
formula.
It more than doubles. It's times by itself every time that it.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I could be in Las Vegas in 20 steps. So.
I don't know how that happens.
Because it 20 exponential steps.
Yeah, no.
Okay, if each step is exponential.
Yeah. We'll do some research and then tomorrow you can come and apologize to all
so
the listeners.
I'm so upset with you guys. How do you not know that computing's exponential and it has been? Okay, let's just move on.
Let's go on to the news.
Okay.
We're going to start a thread called Chat is Dumb.
Before Amino kills both of us, it dances on our corpses.
All right.
So what do we got?
In news. So Steam now has a refund policy and they got a whole page on this. The general thing is you can return a game after 2 weeks of purchasing it or 2 hours of playing it. If it's a pre-purchase, you can return it all the way up until its release date or again, 2 weeks after the, release date or 2 hours after, gameplay.
Let me cut you off, Bob. I think you're wrong. I think, you have 14 days to return it.
That's 2 weeks.
You need to have played less than 2 hours.
That's what I just said.
To qualify.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
2 weeks or 2 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, those are the two limits.
Yeah, those are the two limits.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
Whatever comes first.
Okay, gotcha.
Got some mileage on there.
I'm counting that as a cutoff for you, by the way. that's one for you. Zero for
me. I don't
know
why I misunderstood that. Apparently, my thoughts aren't exponential.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. The DLC is a little different. They got some fine print on that. Also, you can, in-game items that you purchase, Valve offers refunds for all Valve items, but otherwise it's up to the publisher of the game. They got a whole page that illustrates the details of it. But the thing that is crazy to me about this is that they're doing this right before the Steam Summer Sale. Steam Summer Sale starting June 11th, right around the corner, and they're like, all right, we're doing refunds now. I mean, they're going to be getting... I don't think they're going to be issuing a lot of refunds, but if there were any time where they would be getting surplus refunds, it would be during a summer sale where there's an incredible amount of purchases. So.
Yeah, some games are under 2 hours long. But they said, if you're abusive of the system, you're going to be cut off from all your refunds.
Yeah. So, and if you have a ban in that game, a VAC ban, then immediately no refund.
They probably hired a big telemarketer warehouse somewhere in like Mexico or India, and they're just going to handle all this customer service stuff.
Yeah. I had a thought, by the way, on this. I think they could take this to the next step and say every game is free until 2 hours are played. Like, couldn't you treat every game like a demo for 2 hours?
And just as long, out on so much money, though.
Just as long as, because you can do this right now. I could buy a game,
right,
play an hour and a half, Steam refund it, buy another game, do an hour and a half, Steam refund it. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm trying out the game.
Because the thing is, if you're holding money, you're making money. So even if you don't intend, or even if you refund it, money was already made on that money that you pay. You know what I mean? They made the interest on that money while you were...
They're not making interest on 2 hours worth of $14.99.
$14.99 times 8 million, though.
2 hours worth.
Right. But they held it.
So is this another exponential thing, or is this...
Jesus Christ. No, you have 14 days. That's probably the one that you're looking at.
Okay. I'm just saying. I think...
Yeah, I don't think Steam would have the authority concept to do that, though. I don't think they could just tell all the other publishers, like, hey, we're just going to give the game away for free until they play 2 hours of
that's
it.
That's true.
And then,
you're right.
You know, someone would come out with some sort of hack or cheat to be able to keep it from counting hours.
Who knew that Clown Lushi was going to be a Yoko Ono of the DL Gaming podcast?
Speaking of Steam and this whole Steam system, I watched today at work, one of the cool things I get to do is watch videos related to...
Steams?
Videos related to video gaming and developing and stuff like that. I watched a GDC hour-long video on... the creator of Retro City Rampage, and he had this GDC talk where he talked, because he developed 14 SKUs over 5 platforms simultaneously. One person did the developing and...
SKU is a...
A SKU would be a particular...
Protocol, like a port?
No, a particular product for a particular group or whatever. So he did, like, Vita... He did a PS3 version. He did an Xbox Live version. He did a Wii U version. He did a Steam version. He did a DRM-free for good old games version. So he did 17 of these things simultaneously. 17 different...
Of one game.
...platform. Retro City Rampage. And so he talked about it. And one of the big things that came out of it is how clean... It's called Steam Pipe. Mm-hmm. How clean Steam Pipe is. And basically, he could put his package up, and within 2 minutes, the package is approved, put up, and ready for sale, and people are buying the game within 2 minutes. And that, it contracts considerably between other consoles and other...
Contrasts.
So Steam is very good at making it easy for people to put up and for to buy games.
So of it's all... Of all of them, they're the easiest?
Oh, by far. Hmm. It's almost... Android is really clean also. Like, you can put it up and make it for sale within 5-10 minutes also, versus like an iOS, which takes like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, the difference between 2 weeks and 2 minutes is crazy.
Huge.
It's impressive for the volume they're dealing with too.
Yeah.
The iOS is dealing with so much more volume.
Yeah, for sure. So. Well, Android is pretty much caught up at this point.
Okay. I was actually referring to Steam.
Yeah, Steam.
No, I was saying iOS and Android versus Steam, they're dealing with way more. Way
more. The other thing that he mentioned, and I forget, Brian...
Urlacher.
Pieraccini or something like that. I forget his exact name. He's the guy that did Retro City Rampage. He was talking about other providers on the PC market, and I'm trying to figure out what else he could have been talking about.
Like, besides GOG and...
Besides GOG and Steam, because he was saying like it was a ton of work to do other ones, these smaller
other online
ones.
Retailers.
Yeah, other online retailers for.
Yeah, there might have been like Origin, or there's a lot of.
Can
other
you put
smaller
anything
sites
up on Origin?
I don't know.
Or is it only EA?
They only do their own things, right?
It's not Brian. Sure about that. Provinciano.
Provinciano.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Speculation Podcast, where we don't...
Sorry, that was a little tangent. Let's get back on topic.
Okay. On topic, where are we? Okay, so trailers for Fallout 4.
And obviously, I jizzed my panties. What did you guys think?
It seemed cool. I'm not a Fallout guy. I haven't played any of the Fallout series, so it looked cool, but I was like, why do they have mechs before the Fallout? Like, I didn't even know the world. Like, I didn't know that was kind of a thing.
Like I was, Bobby brought it up last week, retro-futuristic. So, somewhere, it looks like the 50s, but it was like somewhere 2033 or 2044. Mm-hmm. I think maybe culture went back to the 50s type.
Gotcha. Thing.
And then they also had robots, and then the bombs hit. So
does it, I haven't read up on this, I saw the trailer, but is this going to take place before Fallout 3?
No, they're all simultaneous, but they're just in different towns.
Okay. Well, so Fallout 3 started before the bombing, or no, you started in a shelter.
Correct. Yeah. And that's the whole Fallout thing.
So Fallout 3 New Vegas was in Vegas.
Right.
What was regular Fallout 3 in?
That was in D.C.
D.C. And then this one is Chicago, right?
Chicago, yeah. It's all the same story, guys. It's just...
It takes place during the same time period. Because the way they made it look on the trailer was that you start out before the bombing or the post-apocalyptic thing
I think
happened.
That was just artistic.
Either that or it's some speculation. Or there has been some speculation that the story will be bouncing between pre- and post-war. Mm-hmm. So, who knows? But generally... What you're dealing with when you're dealing with Fallout is the local populace went into a vault. That's vault. You always hear the vault. Mm-hmm. Vault boy, vault this, vault that. Because it's such a pivotal part. It's what kept everybody alive. But the vaults, spoilers kind of, are also testing chambers for the people that are in charge. So, and then at some point you come out of the vault and then it's a whole new world. And that's when the game begins in earnest. At least that's how 3 was, and that's how Vegas was. And it makes for, you know, really good stuff. I was a little let down that they're reusing so many assets. Like, I saw 4 or 5 things from part 3 and 4. I would think that in different regions of the United States, different things would have mutated. Not the same mutants, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because mutation by its own nature is random. So they should have some new shit. I'm sure they will, but, and maybe there's, you know, you put in this or put in that for a callback, but not like 5 different things, you know?
Who does this game?
The Bethesda.
This is Bethesda. Okay.
Well, they're the publisher, aren't they? Who's the developer? Let me look this up because they have it on Steam. You can pre-purchase it.
Yeah, but... right after the trailer launched, it was up for pre-purchase, which makes me want to. I mean, in my wildest fantasies, is it going to be out this summer? Like that? That's what I'm thinking.
Let me see if they have a date on it because I also want to know what they're offering. Like, is there like some benefit to pre-purchasing or what?
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Full price. Yep.
Coming soon to be determined. Yeah.
I'm thinking late summer for some reason.
Developer is Bethesda as well.
Yeah. That's just me being, you know, optimistic.
And they haven't put a date or anything?
No.
No. It was funny. When I watched the trailer, even though I know better, I scrolled down to read some comments, and some people seemed to be complaining about the graphics. And
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, the graphics are not wowing me. This better be in-game graphics. That's all I'm saying.
Particularly the dog walking across there. Later in the trailer, it looked a little bit better. But you know what? It's better than like them showing these really gnarly, like awesome-looking graphics, and then the game comes out, and then we have a Witcher 3 situation again, you know? Yeah. It's like,
not just
at least
Witcher 3, but everything. Pretty much everything. Nothing looks as good as what they advertise.
True. Yeah. Question. Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas. What is it? Fallout 3 New Vegas or just Fallout New Vegas?
Fallout New Vegas.
Worth playing right now? Should I be playing these games prior to Fallout 4 coming out?
This is a little side note. Fallout 3 sales went up 1,000% after this trailer went out.
Yep.
1,000? Is that an accurate number?
He's making shit. He's been making shit up all podcast.
According to my
studies.
It was
exponentially increased, the sales of Fallout 3.
That's the headline that I wrote, which means 10 times.
Okay.
I'll break it down.
No, I believe it. And Fallout 3 is a great game, and I never played New Vegas, and like it might be time because I played Fallout 3 2011 or 12, I think I played it. So it, New Vegas, I didn't want to play directly after because that never works out well. But I've heard so many good things about
that. I played it right after and I was burnt out on, even though it was my best. Oh, it's because I played it three times through.
Yeah, you did.
Continuously.
You said Fallout 3 was your favorite game of all time.
It is. It still is my favorite game of all time.
My question is, do I play Fallout 3? Do I play Fallout 3 in New Vegas, or do I not play any and just wait for Fallout 4 because it's going to be a...
I would absolutely play Fallout 3. But see, I've been thinking about you,
Does
Chad.
It hold up? That's what I'm saying.
I've been thinking about you, Chad.
It holds up, but...
And after I'm done vomiting... After I'm done vomiting...
Sexually.
I was thinking about... You have Witcher 3, which is arguably the best game this year.
Yep.
And you're not playing it. And you like it. And you'd rather play Naruto or watch Naruto... Reruns of Naruto into the late
I'm almost
night.
I'm 110 episodes done and I just want to get through this fucking thing.
I'm just saying you it's not a knock on you. I'm not saying that you're dumb because you rather watch TV.
I think that's exactly
watch
what you're saying.
You rather watch TV than play
because,
amazing games.
Because gaming is a activity that you have to participate in.
Right.
And when it's 11 o'clock at night and I'm about to go to bed. And by
you can't fall asleep playing games.
Go to bed. I mean, laying on the couch watching TV.
Right.
Exactly. I want to do something that my brain will shut off for, not shut on, not turn on for.
Right.
And when I play games, there's never fall asleep moment.
Right.
I'll be playing games till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, like because it's an activity that engages you.
Yeah.
And as much as I
no,
enjoy
I
that,
it. I see. Like, it. But I also don't see I, the. I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't relate, but also I don't see the like when I'm really into a game, like I am into Witcher 3. That's if I have one free second, that's what I'm doing. You know?
Yeah. And Witcher 3 is almost an MMO in my mind. Like you can't just sit down and play. You're going to have to devote some time to it, and that's a good thing. I'm not saying that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that.
You'd
is
be
a
surprised,
bad thing.
Man. You can jump in for 5 minutes, get a quest done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You really can. Hmm.
And it's one of those things also. I'm the type of guy that saves my dessert for the end. Like, I'll eat my veggies right off the bat. I get through the shitty part first, and then I save the good part for the end. And I'm kind of saving Witcher for those weekends where I have literally all day to do nothing and just pound that shit.
And I'd be all for it, except for, man, all these fucking, like,
yeah,
Fallout 3 has been announced, or
yeah,
Fallout
tough. 4.
And we'll talk about this right now. Unless, Bob, you got anything on Fallout?
No.
Okay.
You played Fallout 3, but not New Vegas, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Did you play it all the way through, Bob?
Fallout 3, yes.
And
three times like this?
No.
Guy did?
No, not that crazy. But I would hold off. Like, honestly, I wouldn't play Fallout 3 at this point if I were you, Chad, because if you do, then you're just going to be a little burnt out on the game. And when you go into 4, I can't imagine 4 like being drastically different than 3.
Yeah, but it might not come out for a year. Like, we have no idea what the release date of this thing is.
Would you put it in your top 10, Bob?
Fallout 3?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. It is a great game, but it was one of those things where everyone just kept telling me, it's great, you gotta play it, blah, blah, blah. And, I think I was, I don't know, I think I was kind of expecting something a little different when I played it. I mean, it's great, it's awesome, but I don't know if it's my kind of game.
And the other thing that was announced was XCOM 2.
Oh, nice.
And, I saw the trailer today. It looks like they're in a post-loss future where the aliens took over, maybe. And so now you're kind of like the renegade force. That's just speculation. That's kind of what it looks like.
They should have redone the sequel to XCOM. Those fucking pricks. My favorite game of all time. XCOM Terror from the Deep. Which is...
From ocean?
Terror from the Deep.
Ocean stuff?
Yeah. So it's a lot of underwater stuff and everything like that.
No, they shouldn't have. That sounds terrible. All right. So, anyway, it's going to be a PC exclusive. How often do you hear that, right?
Yeah.
So they were like, you know, somebody asked them why, and they said, they wanted to push everything they wanted to do. They wanted to push as much as they could. And they're a PC studio. So they're like, we're not even thinking about consoles or anything. So it's going to be a PC exclusive off the bat.
Did the first XCOM come out on consoles?
Simultaneously? I don't think so.
Yeah.
It was PC
It doesn't
first.
Seem like a console game to me. I don't know. I mean, not for any reason having to do with like graphics or being able to run it, but just like the type of games you play on a console. Like, I don't think tactical turn-based XCOM.
But you never hear that. I don't know what I was going to say.
Okay. He's drunk. At this point, he is drunk. What else we got?
Witcher 3 patch fixes exploit, deploys the Bovine Defense Force Initiative. I have no idea what that
what's
means.
This?
So there was an exploit. It wasn't even that big of an exploit. You could kill cows and loot them and then meditate to have time pass. And the cows come back and you kill them again because they don't fight back, right?
How is this an exploit?
Like my grandpa used to say, cows don't fight back.
Okay.
So
That's your dating strategy too.
Boom! All right. I like that one. That was pretty good.
So anyways.
So they have loot. It's not crazy loot, but it's like cow milk, meat, skin, leather.
Because you can meditate so fast in this game.
Right. It's 1 second.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Okay.
Or 2 seconds for 2 hours or whatever it is.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I mean, is this loot that you want, though? I mean, is there...
Well, money is hard to come by. I am hard-pressed for money, which I love. Because it more dictates or like simulates real life. Like, I hate when you play a game, and that's one of the biggest problems with Skyrim and Fallout 3. If you're really watching your pennies, you're going to be super rich.
Yeah,
really
that's
quick
the worst.
If you're looting everything. And so money doesn't really have any. But in this, there's always something. And there, have you seen the respec potion?
Mm-mm.
You can respec all your points for 1,000 gold, which is...
I've never had more than 100 because every time I have a certain amount, I'm turning items into their base material so I can craft with them. So I'm always like, I'm always spending my money in Witcher.
Huh.
You're not, like, if you get the pipe, you don't take it to a smith or whatever to turn it into its base materials?
No.
Oh.
Deconstruct or whatever?
Yeah. You and I play games completely different.
I'm pretty sure we probably have, like, although I gotta say that, why the fuck, a really quick complaint, I'm pretty sure there's a name, silver etched, serpentine Nilfarian sword.
Yeah.
Outmatched by a woodman's hatchet.
Yeah.
Like the damage. I was like, and I had runes in there and it was all shiny and sparkly. And then I find this fucking hatchet and I'm like, oh, this does 50 damage more.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But anyway. They looked at this and they were like, oh, people are doing this exploit. And so they put in a raging cow monster. So if you kill more than like 6 cows, a cow god comes down and pretty much one shots you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I'm going to do that just so I can see what the cow god looks like.
It's in there now. I saw the video of it. I'm not going to do it, but now that I saw the video. But yeah, why not?
Wow.
All right, what else we got?
Infinite Crisis shutting down in August.
You're going to have to hold that, by the way.
No, because I don't know anything about Infinite Crisis. Go ahead. Take it away, Bob.
Infinite Crisis.
Should we wait for him? Or?
No. He doesn't know anything about Infinite Crisis. We all played that. I think I played it more than both of you guys.
Yeah, we liked it.
Yeah, that was one of the MOBAs that I got into quite a bit, actually, before Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, this was your big MOBA. You were getting us to play it.
And it's basically League of Legends with DC.
Yeah.
Characters? I don't know my comic books too well.
DC characters and Infinite Crisis means that there are different worlds, so there could be multiple Batmans. It was a way to explain why there could be multiple of the same people. So that different worlds, there was like a Batman that was like a noir-looking Batman, and there was a Batman that was like a different style Batman.
Yeah. I mean, we don't need to retcon the whole thing, but yeah, it was basically just superheroes fighting each other, and it was like almost a League of Legends clone.
Exactly.
But,
So it's done, basically.
It's a fun game, but
Yeah, they put it on Steam too. I'm sure they got a lot more people playing it from that. But I think this just goes to show, like, MOBAs are like MMOs now. Like, you can't just make one and everyone's going to play it. I mean, you got your big ones and then that's it.
Yeah.
I think the saturation point.
Yeah, the market's saturated. Yeah. So there's got to be a selling point. And this is what I think. I think developers don't necessarily, or publishers don't necessarily understand, is what is the selling point? Because if you're getting just the DC market, that's a very small market. If you're trying to get DC and Marvel together, that's a little bigger market. If you're trying to get, you know, like, you got to hit the market that actually will appeal to people. I think at this point, MOBAs,
I don't know, man.
If Blizzard is maybe struggling to get a MOBA market going, then, you know, I'm not sure it is. I don't know. Is Heroes of the Storm doing well?
I don't. They act like it's not. Like, they say, you know, we're in closed beta because we don't want to open up the servers yet because it'd probably crash them all. And, you know, we want to be careful about this and ensure everyone has a good time playing. And so when we're ready, then we'll, and we're sure it's going to be stable, then we'll open up the beta. But they could just be saying that to build the hype. But, I mean, I think it comes down to gameplay. They did something different with Heroes of the Storm. It's a little more casual. It's different in a lot of ways than most MOBAs. And, you know, we saw Dawngate crash and burn many months ago. And, you know, that was just a Dota clone, too. So, you know,
I like Dawngate, though.
I mean, it was good. I mean, it's hard for me to say I liked one more than the other because I liked each one that I played more than the last. And it was just me getting used to the top-down MOBAs.
I like Dawngate because it was a two-lane system, and that's what I really liked about two lanes. And it had four points outside of the lanes that you would fight over. I thought the map was really well done in Dawngate, and so that's why I liked
it. Yeah, it did have a different
map. You would like Heroes of Storm more if you would have won one of your 40 matches. It would help.
Yeah. The fact that I suck at the game doesn't help.
Yeah. Why do you think you did okay on Dawngate and not so well on Hearthstone without shitting all over you?
You mean Hearthstone? You mean Heroes of the Storm?
Heroes of the Storm, yeah.
I think Heroes of the Storm, what it really comes down to is Heroes of the Storm, you level up as a group.
We're focusing on you, not on Heroes.
Yeah, right now. But Heroes of the Storm, you level up as a group.
Right.
That means that there's no way for you to exceed.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a socialist.
Yeah, it's a socialist mentality. Yeah. You're right. And as much as I shit on myself about games, I tend to be better than the average MOBA player. And so when I was playing Dawngate, I tended to be a little bit better than everybody else. And so I could when you out-level somebody in a MOBA, everybody else just becomes...
It's funny because we play MOBAs together all the time and...
We play Smite all the time. And I'm still better than everybody else there. No, okay.
Anyways, you've been doing better lately. Although I'm going to announce now, I'm going to be, after this week, deleting Smite from my computer. It takes up too much of my time, and I need to devote more to the podcast. So I'm going to take that step. Chad, you're welcome to join me.
Okay.
It's so much fun, though. Like, right after I said, no, I'm not going to play, and you're like, we got to play this week. We got to get the scores.
I got 2 more weeks. I got to get 2,000 fantasy points in Smite. So yeah. I got to do it. Fuck it. What else we got?
A little bit on hardware. So if you've been on Steam recently, you've noticed that they've got huge ads for their Steam controller, Steam Link, and Steam machines. Hardware they're selling. The Steam controller is $49.99. Steam Link is, I believe, the same, $49.99.
Yeah, it is.
That's a ridiculous price for a controller.
$50. That's the normal price for a controller.
Yeah. Oh, Xbox really? One, you can get an Xbox controller, a wireless one, on sale on Amazon for $40 or maybe a little bit more than that. But yeah, $50.
I didn't know that was the norm.
Yeah, that's the
norm. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. The Steam machines are ranging anywhere from $450 all the way up to, I think, around $1,000. They offer Wi-Fi, 4 to 8 gigs of RAM, an Intel i3 to i7, but they don't specifically list any graphic cards. They say an NVIDIA card with 2 gigs of DDR5 memory. So this leads me to believe, based on that and the price or and the size of the machine, that they have some sort of customized card that they're putting in there specifically for this.
So you think that all Steam machines will have one universal card?
No, they won't. They probably won't all have the same exact card, but I think NVIDIA is building special cards. Like, it's not going to be like a GTX 980 or something. It's going to be something that they built specifically for steam machines. When these things actually come out, which is October 16th, then we'll see the benchmarks, we'll see what they can do, and we'll see who buys them. But the Link, I think, is the best piece of hardware that you have here. You pretty much hook it up to a TV, and then it communicates with your computer in your house, and you can play all the Steam games off it.
We got to see the refresh rates, though, and stuff like that. Is it going to actually feel like you're playing the off your box in your room, or is it going to feel like you're laggy and you can't do it? Because if that's the case, then you should be picking up
a Steam machine. If they can't figure it out for fucking 40 feet, then...
I'm just saying.
The grid is saying that they can do it.
Well, it's going to communicate over your network. So if you have it hooked up wirelessly, or I don't even know if these have Ethernet ports, but I mean, they've done a whole lot of testing with not family sharing. What's the other thing where you can remotely play your games? I can't remember. But, you know, they've worked all this stuff out. And the Steam machines look good. I mean, we'll see what happens. But it's interesting that they're offering pre-orders now so you can get them right when they come out. Like, they apparently think these are going to sell out really quick.
And for you early adopters and everything, hold off on this. I think, honestly, if you have a Steam Link, I don't understand why you need a Steam machine.
I think Steam machines...
If you're a PC gamer.
Steam machines are for people... Steam machines are for console gamers. If you want to buy a console for PCs, you're buying a Steam machine. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right, Bobby?
Yeah. I mean, that's
the concept, right? It's a console for PC gaming. So I wanted a one box. I'm going to buy a Steam machine, and then now I can play Steam games in my living room, sitting next to my Xbox.
Who's that marketed to? Is that towards consoles that want to play League of Legends?
No.
Console? So who is it marketed to?
Yes. PC gamers. No, you're right. Yeah. Consolers that want to play PC games.
PC games.
Yeah.
Right. Which are almost all universal except for these MOBAs that are the biggest games in the world.
Yeah.
So it's weird, man. I don't see this
going
anywhere.
It's a niche market right now.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, we'll see what happens when they go on sale. I mean, that's been the concern since they announced this many years ago, but...
Sorry, Bobby.
That was
a cutoff. Ow. God damn it. I will say, as a homeowner, it would be really cool to have a Steam machine in my living room with wireless keyboard and mouse that I could just
access your computer
from. It could be another computer.
But if you have your Steam Link, you got that anyway.
I'm not sure. Does Steam Link allow me to access my computer in the living room, or only my Steam in the living room?
If it doesn't do your whole computer,
can I?
I think it's just your Steam library. If you get the Steam,
really?
Library. Yeah.
You don't think you can stream your PC
remote desktop?
Yeah,
possibly. Not that I know of.
It seems like a no-brainer.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
We'll see. I guess time will tell.
Yeah.
On all of this.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, it has absolutely no value, but. If you have a bigger house, you know, if you have a family, I mean, see, that's the thing, man. I don't understand. I was talking to Dustin. What's his name? Fisty. And he was telling me how he goes through like a router a year or something like that, or even sooner. Like, he burns through routers. I'm like, how is that possible? And he has a ton of devices. And when you have multiple people in your house, like when I was living with my parents, there was like four or five of us in there at one point. And think, everyone's got a cell phone connecting to the Wi-Fi. Half the people got laptops. People have desktops, Netflix, Roku, Apple TVs, like all that shit connecting to the network. You know, when you're dealing with a household and a family, like, that's a whole different situation. So I could see something like a Steam machine or a Link, like, being useful in like a family household where you have like three bedrooms, you got kids, you got adults, you got a den or something like that. But I mean, I live in a freaking apartment or a hotel room practically. So I just run the HDMI cord across the wall and I'm good.
It's like that guy from work that I brought up earlier, the Diablo guy.
Mm-hmm.
He has his own internet connection for just his computer so that nobody else can fuck with his shit. Cause he has, five other people in the house. So he's like, I'm tired of this lag. So he went and got his own. Yeah. And nobody's allowed on the password and shit.
I think we have a very particular kind of world that we're living in that doesn't necessarily match up with everybody else that...
No, I don't know, man. People are getting married way later. I would say the majority of our listeners are, you know, I don't know. I don't think they have full-on families and stuff, but who knows?
Yeah.
They're all welcome.
I think there is a market for the steam machines. I'm not sure if it's big enough that we need 18 different companies creating these steam machines.
I think there's only two at this point. Alienware and Cyber or something. Yeah.
I thought Falcon North was.
When you go to Steam, they only list two. And one's $4.49 and one's $4.99. That's the only ones that are listed right now.
Oh, right now. I'm pretty sure there's like eight companies there. But here's the thing. They'll make 100. They'll probably sell those 100. And then the rest of them, they'll just make on demand. You know? So... if they're smart, which they are because they're still in business.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah. And these are the official Steam machines. You can build a computer however you want and slap the Steam OS on it and call it a Steam machine.
Yeah.
Other companies can do that too and call it a Steam machine, but these are the actual Steam machines here.
So, Bob, about the Steam OS, which I completely forgot about until you just mentioned it, do you think you could just run your life as you do? I run my life on Windows. Do you think you could just run your life on SteamOS?
No.
Or you need an emulator or whatever the fuck to run like Windows? And like Office.
Yeah, I think when it first came out, I booted up the SteamOS in like a virtual box or something and played around with it a little bit. But no, it's not like an operating system. I mean, it's from what I remember.
OS means operating system.
Yeah, well... It's not like an operating system as you would think, like Windows or Macintosh.
So it's not all-encompassing. This is directed at games, specifically.
Yeah, it's specifically tailored for Steam. It doesn't have lots of other things installed that you would need, like a word processor or anything like that. I don't even know if it has a desktop or, a GUI.
It's basically like a console, like... PlayStation or Xbox, they have an operating system, but all of the operating system does is allow you to access the games and some other stuff.
I might be way off here, but I don't see...
You have been this whole podcast, by the way.
Or I'm the mad genius who happens to be right.
Okay. But you may be way off on what?
I don't see the market. I really don't see any market for this. Console guys aren't going to jump over. People that don't have either are non-existent. And if the ones that do exist, I see them going toward, I don't know.
They're trying to cut into the living room. I mean, this is specifically geared towards your TV.
I totally see that. But I don't think this is the way. I think the Steam Link is the way.
Yeah. I would agree with you. But that takes two steps instead of one step. Because if you only bought consoles before, you're looking for a console that works for PCs, and that's what a Steam machine is. You're not looking to make a computer and then a Steam Link into your living room. See how that's two steps? You got to buy the console, you got to buy the PC first, and then you got to buy the Steam Link, and then you got to link it into your living room.
Every household has a PC.
Yeah, but
a lot of people just use laptops these days.
A word processor PC.
Yeah, you're right.
They're not desktops. Mac. Yeah. There's a bunch of people that own Macs. You're not playing fucking a bunch of games on a Mac. You just aren't. So
yeah, you're right. Who knows? It's all nebulous.
Yeah.
Only time will tell. Computex is going on right now, which is like, I don't know, would you say it's the E3 of the other side of the world? Yeah. Of the hardware? Yeah. E3 is more consumer electronics. Computex more focuses on... What are we
watching? Saturday?
No, when?
Next Saturday, right?
E3 is next Saturday. No, starts next Tuesday.
Are we going to announce that we're going?
It depends on you. I'm going to be at E3. I'm going to be working E3.
Yeah.
I have an extra ticket, which you might be using to go
and
up and...
stay in your room?
Yeah.
Let's do it then.
Okay.
Okay. We're announcing it right now. We're going to have live coverage from E3 2015.
Yeah. Your name... while you're up there, will be Chad. So if somebody hollers Chad, you got to turn around.
I look like a Chad.
You do kind of
look like a Chad if he dyed his hair black and got handsome as shit.
Bees stung his lips all up in his face.
Okay. Well, sorry. Computex is going on right now, and NVIDIA announced the GTX 980 Ti, which everyone knew was coming. And
I did, the for bench, sure.
Yeah, you guys were all over yeah. this. But the benchmarks are out on this, and this thing performs like a hair under the GTX Titan X. Like just barely underneath it.
For how many dollars less?
$350 less.
That's so is this the one you're getting?
Yeah, we'll see when I get some money.
He's getting three of them.
Yeah.
We'll see.
What's the price?
$650.
Yeah, because Titan was $1,000, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is the new card to get. I mean, this is looking really good. And the AMD is going to be coming out with their Fury, the 390X, and they have some benchmarks out on that, but they haven't perfected the drivers, and there's still a lot of work they got to do. But they're saying that the Fury doesn't perform as well as the 980 Ti, and this is the new AMD card with this new thing called HBM, high bus memory bandwidth, or high bandwidth memory. Like some technical shit that's supposed to make it run better. Why go into details?
But he just sounded like we sound when he's talking about regular shit. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Because I'd see the eyes roll back as soon as we start getting into detail. And plus, there's many articles and better sources to explain this kind of shit. But I don't know, man. It's not looking good for AMD at this point. They also a ton of new G-Sync monitors at Computex, including one that is going to compete with that Acer one I've been looking at, an IPS panel, 144 hertz, 2560 by 1440. But this one's by Asus. So that'll be out, I think, third quarter.
So, Bob, in a vacuum where you don't have to deal with either with any outside influences, would you rather go to E3 for the full thing or Computex? You personally.
I don't know. I'd like to go to E3 this year just because they're going to have that PC gamer, PC game.
I could
sell you, a ticket. By the way, your name's Chad.
Bobby kind of does look like Chad. He can pull off Chad.
Any white guy could pull off Chad, let's be honest.
Because it's the coolest name ever.
Hulk Hogan could not have pulled off Chad.
Yeah, he could have.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
But, but yeah, I mean, E3 should be interesting this year, so that'll be cool. And I don't know, they focus more on consoles typically, but
yeah, that's true.
But was it? I think that already passed. But PC Gamer had they're doing a whole thing, like you know how you have your PlayStation and you have your Xbox. I believe PC Gamer is going to have their own.
Oh yeah, we had talked about that.
Yeah. So the PC will have. They need a face. I don't care who steps up. Somebody step up.
It should be Gaben.
But he likes to be in a hole and fat.
I saw a picture of Gaben on Skyrim. Someone had modded, and he's like shirtless and fat, and he's got Steam tattoos around his nipples. You know, like you know how it's got like the kind of like things, the different
bases.
Like, you know, it's got the circle. It's the, you know, it's part of the train. It's part of the train. Like the Steam
gears,
symbol.
Yeah.
So he had it around his two nipples, and it was probably the grossest thing I've ever seen.
Nice.
That sounds terrible. Yeah. So
are we done with this yet?
Yeah.
Let's get this going.
We're wrapping it up. Check us out at dlgaming.net. That is our website. You can get to our Steam group, which is most of our activity. Also YouTube, Twitter, been real active on there. Are we still doing the Rockstar or the GTA 5 giveaway raffle right now?
Yeah. Do you guys want to announce it now? And I'll get it started probably right after this airs.
All right. Yeah. So we talked about it last week, but I guess we haven't put it up yet. But we've got a copy of Grand Theft Auto 5. If you still do not have that game, then check out our Twitter account for a chance to win that. What do we got coming up? I mean, we got E3.
So E3 is in 2 weeks, so we're going to do another podcast before that.
Yeah, so that's not right around the corner.
We're
going to try to get a calendar up on the website, too, so we can start scheduling shit, like when we're going to be playing, so we can play with listeners. There's been a lot of talk of getting like a TF2 team together or getting into an MMO.
Yeah, and also I think this might be – hyperbole or whatever, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to start streaming. I'm going to have a schedule streaming time, maybe 2 hours a day on weekdays or something like that. So we'll see where that goes. But hopefully that's the goal right now. I would say that's probably a week away or a week and a half away.
Okay.
Cool. All right. What are you guys going to be playing next week?
Witcher 3 for goddamn sure.
I got about 8 million things I want to play, but I really want to get into something MMO related with you.
Yeah, so me too.
Let's try to get the three of us going, get some listeners in on it, and let's do this.
Yeah. Maybe make a guild? Who knows?
Yeah.
The possibilities are endless.
DL gaming.
The possibilities are exponential.
Yeah, exponential.
Sons of bitches.
Give us okay. A
taste. Veniendo de San Diego, California, es el fin del DL Gaming Podcast. Estoy hablando por El Callido.
It's true.
Roberto...
Digitales?
Digital, I don't know. Digital.
Electronico?
Yeah. Y Ender's Logic. Gracias. Gracias por... por escuchando y tatas.